He has run the course of the earthly life that he was given. And we are here to bear memory to that, to testify about our relationship with him, and to bless him and send him on his way to the next step in his eternal life. So Lord, may the thoughts that we have during this time, this worship service in which we honor you for the salvation that is blessing Ed right now, we ask that you will help us through the Holy Spirit to hear what it is that we need to hear. And Lord, most of all, as some of us begin our grieving process and some of us laugh and some of us smile, for after all, this is the Springsteens. Lord, we just ask that you be with us. In thy name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been a battle to get here. Yesterday we had no heat in the sanctuary that you're sitting in. Imagine that, no heat in the dead of winter. There's a foreign concept. So we had the people out, they got it fixed. And by the grace of God, I watched him fix it. Because this morning we had no heat in the sanctuary. Now I was content to let y'all freeze and sit close because then we could pack more people in together. But then I remembered how to fix it. So we went out and used the proverbial greatest fixing tool there is, which is the metal coat hanger. And we fixed the furnace. So hallelujah. Amen. I like to prepare my message the day of, which is kind of dicey, but if you've known me for any length of time, you know that that's sort of kind of how I live my life. But when it comes to saying goodbye, I like to think and think and think and meet with the family and just percolate on it. And then I come in early, and I was here around 8 o'clock, quarter to 8 this morning, sit in my office and pull together the final thoughts, and I work off of a legal pad and several pieces of paper. God in his great wisdom saw fit that I was pulled this way and pulled that way and pulled this way and using coat hangers and furnaces and everything else. And I did not get to spend the proverbial time that I like to do. And then I realized, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Because the truth of the matter is y'all pretty much know Ed more and better than I do. Can I get an amen? So I'm not going to pull out some magical mystery thing on a life that's lived as long as it's been lived. And for some of you who've been the recipient of some of his quiet, hidden little jokes and all that kind of stuff, but I want to talk to you about something that I don't have to prepare for. And that is, as a pastor, when I officiate over a memorial service or funeral or whatever you want to call it, and the person is a believer, for me, it is the final step. It is the end reward. It is the goodbye unto God. And it is the thank you to God for his great wisdom. God, who created us perfect, who we, in all of our wisdom, decided to step aside and screw the creation up, and then God going through all of his efforts to bring his creation back to him, finally sent his son, Lord Jesus. And Jesus came and said, I'll stand in your place. So that guys like Ed Springsteen, Phil Van Dyke, Lois Springsteen, and all of the rest of you out there who are believers don't have to be hung up or stand in accountability for the things that we don't do that are God-like. And if we're honest in the Springsteen family, there are one or two non-God-like activities that have occurred over the years. I'd ask for an amen, but I might get shouted out of the sanctuary. I just want to take the time as a pastor to be grateful to Jesus Christ for what he did for all of us who have chosen to believe, and specifically for the fact that I'm not up here having to talk about a life around something so important, so that in the end, whatever is said here, whatever is done, Ed's smiling and looking at us. In fact, I made the comment to Ron this morning as we were poking with that coat hanger. I said, I bet your dad is smiling at us right now and laughing. My personal relationship with Ed Springsteen was not one of dynamic conversation. He was one who was content to sit. Often our relationship was based in around communion, which leaves me to do a lot of the talking. But it was always good. He was always paying attention. It was always well received. And I am grateful for that. And so today, as I think back over the times I've been here, 10, 11 years, and I remember him starting over here, sitting on this side mostly, where you now sit, and then sitting in Gowan at Twin Oaks and over in Greenville, and then for a little bit of time on Colby Road, and follow him around, I want you to know that today I have within my heart a sense of peace that I want you to have. Because this life that impacted so many people and seemed to span the stretch of history that ranged from way back to the Essex to all the way to here, to how many kitchen cabinets are floating around this community, to how many houses have been worked on, to the Wyckoff connection, it just gets on and bigger and bigger. The thing that matters is the fact that Jesus was there. And that today, as a Christian brother, I can smile and I can be at peace because I know whom Ed is with. And I am pleased with that. And that is my pastoral message to you. The scripture for today comes from Paul. Paul was tired. He was a human being. He was a worker. He was a pusher. He was a perfectionist, somehow annoyingly so. But listen to the words that he writes from where he is in Rome as he assesses his final state. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, not only to Paul, but also to all, Ed, who have longed for his appearance. That is the final and most appropriate thing that I can say is scripture for Ed's life. Amen. Now, we're going to hear from several members of the family, but Don has been on hold. Somebody that you need to listen to. Go ahead, Don.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I can't be there. This is Emily Springsteen, Ed's granddaughter. I'm hailing from Key West, Florida. I've been asked to read a couple poems. This first one was written by my dad, Eddie Springsteen Jr., about 20 years ago, I believe. And this is called The Lumbago Kid. The Lumbago Kid by Eddie Springsteen Jr. I remember tales of long ago of the famous Lumbago Kid and of the tricks and of the pranks and the other things he did. When he grew up and off to war, he sailed the seven seas. He found a pet to ride to port. A shark was what he told me. Then he got wed and had some kids. The best one they named Ed. And he'd tell us his stories and tell us his tales of some of the things he did. He's a master of fashion, of style and grace, and he's still a right handy old fart. He can put the studs in their place with a swat on the face. Just give him a call and get him to start. So tell us a story and do not linger, and to help you keep to the point, be sure when you tell it to swish with your finger, the one you splattered up to the first joint. This next one I wrote when Grandpa Springsteen turned 90 2 years ago. The Lumbago Kid Part 2. Come gather, you kinfolk, round this lumbago kid. You see, he's turned 90. Yes, that's what he did. Before you eat sheet cake, sit back and reflect. This guy has some stories. Indeed, I detect. He's had a career working wood with his hands, his cabinets still used and his homes warmly stand. From the South Seas to Europe, he's seen a few towns, and he's spent several years with Floridian clowns, mostly from Sheridan. Now the kid reaches 90. At this point you may gape. He spent 7-odd decades whipping kids into shape. First came Ron, Ed, and Kevin, then little Joanne, then a whole slew of grandkids came into the plan. There's Joey and Jenny and Emmy and Mort. There's Jess and Melissa and Lexi for short. Well, he couldn't have done it save his Spitfire partner, who's a chef and a seamstress, a wise one, a gardener. Yes, he walked all these years with his butternut bell. Their love is inspiring. I think it's so swell. Dad and I cannot be there. Give Grandpa a hug. Then it's cheers and break bread while you all chug a lug. Signing out with love. I'll be home soon. Merry Christmas.
That's a hard act to follow. I was fortunate to have two great brothers. And Mick was the older. Ed was more my age. And so through the years, Ed and I became a little closer. But I still revered Mick and both brothers. In fact, I look a little like Ed, don't you think? let's see, what was I going to tell you? In the mid-30s, we were on a farm out south of town, and my dad bought a new electric fence, and that was really a novel. No one else around had an electric fence where you could keep your cattle and your horses in with just one strand of barbed wire, but you didn't want to grab it. And Ed had a lot of fun with that. He wired the cat's dish that we put milk in the barn. He took an ear cord and wrapped fine copper wire around it and hung it on the fence, and so when the pigs came along, they only tried it once, but they would try it. And then he thought, well, I should carry this a step further. One day we were out hoeing in the garden, and right next to the garden was our two-holer outhouse. Most of you probably don't know what that is, but anyway. I was hoeing along, and all of a sudden he left, and he was gone for quite some time. And I thought, well, where heck is he? And finally I walked over when he just came out of the toilet, and he said, come on, get behind it with me. So we sat there for a while, and pretty soon my sister Lorna came out to use it. And when she started to use it, she let the greatest yell I've ever heard. I think her head hit the ceiling. But he had installed a fine screen below the hole, and he attached the wire from that screen to the electric fence. Now, if you don't think that would be a thrill, try it. So I have a lot of good memories, and I feel very fortunate in having Ed as a brother and Mick. They taught me a lot of things, and some things they shouldn't have taught me, but that's how it goes. I loved him dearly. Lois, you did a great job with him, finishing him off. Okay, thank you for coming, and it's nice to see so many faces.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
I think I'll try this from right here.
They won't hear you.
Can you hear me back there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to be loud. I want to say thank you all for coming. I want to say I love you all, one in particular.
Thanks. He's talking about you.
Back before we came along, in World War II, Dad was in the Navy. He was on the aircraft carrier Essex, which was the first of a new class of aircraft carriers that were built during World War II to replace older carriers that the United States Navy had in their fleet. And probably, I don't know, many years ago, my brother Kevin and Dan and I were on the aircraft carrier Yorktown near Charleston, South Carolina. And the tour guide was having a really good time because he found out right away that Dad had been on the Essex. And the tour went off on all kinds of into all kinds of places on Yorktown that the normal tour didn't go. And he was learning a lot from Dad about how things worked on those carriers. And he said he had never enjoyed having a tour so much in all of the time he'd been giving tours on the Yorktown. Back when he was on the carrier in the war, on November the 25th, 1944, 5 days before Dad turned 20, a Japanese kamikaze plane hit the Essex. Fortunately, its trajectory was thrown off a little bit because the gunners hit the kamikaze as it was coming in. But when it hit the carrier, Dad and some of his friends were up on deck as that kamikaze was coming in. And they saw the plane coming. We heard more about this, Kevin and I, when we were on that Yorktown tour, because he was telling the tour guide about this. And needless to say, they scrambled for the hatch to get back below decks. And I'm awfully glad that Dad was as nimble as he was, or some of us wouldn't be here today talking. He made it down the hatch, and Durer Pontius, who would, after the war, marry my dad's sister Madge, made it down the hatch, and one or two guys behind him, and after that, they didn't make it. It was that close. I can't begin to say enough about my dad. He was not a perfect man any more than any of us are. He was a quiet man most of the time. But you gotta watch out for quiet people. I am just terribly, terribly honored to have been his son. And I am grateful for all of you